This is Wexford's Wild Heritage with Dan Conroy, Chris Wilson and Alan Maguire.
The Salty Islands lie approximately 5 kilometres off the South Wexford coast, and the larger island, Great Saltee, is widely regarded as the most famous bird sanctuary in Ireland. For wildlife enthusiasts, this is County Wexford's treasure island. In this final programme of Wexford's Wild Heritage, Don, Chris and I have made our way to Kilmore Quay. In the summer months, Declan Bates runs regular day trips to the Saltees. On a lovely June morning with a flat, calm sea, we step on board Declan's boat with other day trippers and bird watchers, preparing to head off for a salty adventure.
Chris, are you doing the interview yet?
He's already got me going.
Oh, you've got it already?
Yeah, of course.
This is the sound of the Saltees. We should have had a match pay for you.
You guys hoping to see some birds then out here?
I thought we have.
We will see birds.
Way out on the ocean, there's a lonesome boatman. He is way out on the ocean, many miles from the ice of somewhere. That someday, come what may, he'll get there.
Great, and such a lovely flat sea.
Yeah, rare occasions.
You didn't see the dolphin there just then, did you?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
I think they're Rissos, aren't they? You've got a couple of Rissos.
He's a small lad, Jack, isn't he?
Yeah.
He
was here last week, so.
Oh, well, if you stop and look for him, you won't find him because he just disappeared with the noise of the boat, I suppose.
Yeah. That's a small one, yeah. That's yeah, not yeah. the purpose, yeah.
I think we're very lucky with the weather, Declan. It's easy to get on board and to disembark.
Oh, big help, yeah. We were out here last week and it was lovely and sunny and bright, but it was gales and orderly wind. An awful job here to get in, but we managed anyway, you know.
The Salties are proving still very popular with people, yeah?
Oh, they are. Yeah, and getting more popular now, especially with the photographers, the camera clubs.
Well, you get camera clubs coming out as well, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, very popular with the camera clubs.
Any sign of basking sharks?
Haven't seen a basking shark for years. Some guy got one tangled up in a net the other day, or anything, but he let him off again. He's a smaller one, about 12 foot long. But I haven't seen him for years.
We soon reached the island, and having successfully stumbled across the slippery seaweed, we hiked to the top of the island, passing by the concrete throne of Prince Michael I. Don and Chris were immediately impressed with our views of the sea below us.
Well, that's a spectacular view there.
Whoa, look at that. My goodness, look at the orcas in the water. They are stunning.
Actually, from a distance, they actually look like seaweed. And you come up close and there's a ribbon of them around the places.
Because there's no wind, right?
Yes.
But just look at that. They are thousands now. Thousands and thousands of guillemots and razorbills and puffins on the water. God, that is stunning.
A splash
actually,
of colour.
I must say to people, if they are out on the island walking around, do be careful because there are a lot of holes, rabbit burrows, and you can actually easily step into it.
When you're anywhere near the edges of the cliffs, and you don't go to the edge, but when you're anywhere near, even relatively near the edges, you've got to watch for burrows because you know you just trip and you're over the top. Yeah. And even the most experienced of people on the island have been over, you know, and it's just. You're finished. I mean, unfortunately, there has been some serious accidents on the Salty Islands over the years. And you've got to respect them. Absolutely essential. And if you've got children, you've got to have them really close to you. You've just got to be so careful.
You just have an oyster catcher flying over.
Calling away. Beautiful. That seal's still there. I'm going to have to try and get a picture of a seal in the water because they're so clear looking down at them.
We weren't the only ones enjoying the wildlife on view. And for Dublin man Dave Stanley, who was there with members of his family, this was a real trip down memory lane.
I was here about 30 years ago, and at the time it was a huge memory for me because the place was puffins everywhere, and you know, you could almost walk up and shake their hand. But today we've seen puffins, all right, but not nearly in the same quantities.
I don't know that there's much difference. I know there's roughly 1,000 pairs, and I think that's been fairly standard for the last 20. I can't go to 30 years back. Mm. What did surprise me today is that this morning there were an awful lot of puffins along here, whereas in previous years when I've been, and I've been coming for the last 20 years, never see puffins down there, but always see them up and round the corner past the gannets. And going along that stretch, there used to be always puffins.
Okay.
There is a problem with Salty, and that is the rats. And so even like Manx shearwaters always have only a very poor foothold because of the rats. So actually it's an interesting comment, but I honestly don't know 30 years ago. But we've seen a lot of puffins today. Having said that, there's been massive declines of puffins in Scotland, and there's no reason at all why it shouldn't have affected here as well, in the sense that the sand eel populations in the Irish and the Northern Sea have dropped dramatically.
Yeah.
So that will have a massive effect. Also, they're all late this year, very late this year. So
we were just wondering, because you know, there's a lot of people walking around, and they're what looked like fairly fresh burrows, and lots of people walking close to them and so on. Is that likely to have an effect, do you think?
I don't think so, but I get worried. It's one of my pet hates to see people too close to the seabirds, because, of course, this is one place that you really can see them, as you know.
Yeah. And it is such a crucial time for them. They have a small window of opportunity to breed.
Yeah.
And, of course, if they get disturbed, then it can be very serious. But as Chris so rightly said, you know, it could be something like rats.
Yeah, that's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
We left Dave Stanley to continue his search for puffins, and as we made our way to the next part of the island, we came across some interesting nest sites.
I think we've another nest, Chris, have we?
We certainly have. This one's got 3 eggs.
Oh, I see them.
But she's obviously brooding them, because she's not even getting off. Look, and we're only feet away, so we won't disturb her too long.
She's but pretty annoyed with us again.
She's very rattled, and there's the old man. Look. Really nice.
I think we better back off.
We will. We'll back out.
By early evening, most of the human visitors to the island had departed, but we had other plans and made our way down to the shoreline, as this was the safest place to set up our campfire.
Well, that was a great day, Chris.
Absolutely fantastic. The cracking day. Now we just got to pray that we get a nice bit of sunshine tomorrow or something like that, and then we can go around again, because it was just such a superb experience to go all round and have a look.
You'll hear birds, believe me.
Well, you will. I mean, birds will call away right up until very late, and you know me, I like my bed early. So whether we're by the campfire or whether we're not, I'll still go to bed early, and I'll be up before the pair of you. I'm going for a walk.
Warm glow from that campfire there.
I mean, I will go out and have a look in an hour's time and see if I can hear Manx shearwater, because that I always think epitomises the sounds of Great Salty at night.
Is that the thing that scared the hell out of me last time?
Yeah.
It has that kind of demonic
weird sound that people wonder whether it's the cry of the banshee or something. And you just hear it coming from a long way off, and then it gets nearer and nearer.
Of course, the banshee will naturally come out at night time for the most part when they're coming from their roost, because otherwise they get attacked by the gulls and actually take them in mid-flight. So It's best for them to travel under the cloak of darkness.
So they'd switch, the parents switch nesting duties at night. They come in after dark and they're gone before dawn, and then they don't come back until the following night. So whoever's sitting on the eggs has to stay there all night while the other one goes off fishing for the day. But we don't get that many here. I mean, there are a few of them around. And
sorry, Chris, keep an eye on the celestial fairy.
Sorry.
I can just drop one in the fire. I'm not having that.
Anyhow, we're going to sit down and eat this, aren't we? We better eat it up now.
Well, just hold on, just get the eggs.
Yeah, I don't trust you with the eggs.
No,
let me look after my own. I don't want mine nicely burnt to a frazzle either at all.
There's the hunt.
And so we settle down for our night under the stars. In part two, we continue our exploration of Great Salty.
This is Wexford's Wild Heritage with Dan Conroy, Chris Wilson and Alan Maguire.
In this final programme of Wexford's Wild Heritage, Don, Chris and I are on Great Saltee and looking forward to our second day exploring the island.
The first day was lovely, but even this, it's even better the second day.
Might have been something to do with that breakfast.
This must be it, Alan.
Just the fresh air, you see.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you, Alan, for bringing all those sausages and tomatoes and rashers and eggs. But I can see that.
I didn't tell you where I got the eggs, did I?
Oh, no, you can't do that. There goes the herring gull, look. Patrolling the cliff again, watching all the time. Incredible. What a day. Beautiful.
As we set out, we came across some new visitors to the island, the Furlongs. Deirdre Furlong was there with her son, James, and we also had the Furlong sisters, Trina, Karen, Debbie, Stephanie, Andrea, and the youngest, Kira. In spite of the heat of the day, they were wearing wetsuits. So had they managed to swim out from the mainland?
No, we didn't. We got a lift out. Our dad has a rib, so he brought us out.
And why the suits?
We're going snorkeling now. We just said we'd come for a walk and then we're going for a snorkel.
And where are you going to snorkel?
Around the back here.
I was just looking down on those waters a moment ago, thinking how great it would be for snorkeling. So it's good?
Yeah, no, it is. It's been a long time now since any of us were out here. So.
Now, you must be the youngest snorkeler, are you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
11.
And are you good at snorkeling?
Yeah.
Are you going to snorkel on the back of the Salty Islands?
Yeah.
What do you hope to see?
Fish.
Seals.
Sharks?
Seals.
You'll see seals, okay. Yeah. And I mean, you've been snorkeling here before because you've got the underwater camera.
My dad's camera.
Are the waters safe then for snorkeling? I mean, it's a lovely calm day today, so it must be good.
They're safe enough out here. Daddy is with the Wexford Tobacco Club, so he's in charge. He's in charge and he knows where to bring us and all that, yeah. So, no, it's safe enough. Apparently there's a lot of seals around at the moment, so we're not too keen about seeing them.
They might bite your fins. How long will you spend in the water, do you think?
I don't know. As long as we can stand the cold, I suppose.
Half an hour.
Yeah, it's not quite, the waters aren't quite warm yet, are they?
No, it wasn't too bad now where we were coming in at the front of the island, but it's a bit deeper and a bit colder now around here, all right.
You must be roasting in those suits.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's warm.
So I better let you get back into the water.
We can't wait to get in to cool down a bit.
All right, well, great to meet you on these salty islands. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Oh, guys, that's quite a climb.
Yeah.
I'm puffled out. Well, I deliberately brought you here because you get such a superb view of the gannets, but you don't get too close. And the changes in the gannets is only subtle, but when you get too close, you have an effect on them which is not fair. So this is about as near as I'd ever dare go. Just leave them to work away. As you can see, it's hugely busy. There's a pair displaying together because one of them has just come back. Another one displaying here waiting for the adult to come in. And then you can see where the original gannet rookery was, just here. And it's now spreading all the way around and down the side of the outside of Saltee. And that's been dramatic in the last 10 years. It's just expanded so much. So the gannets are doing incredibly well.
They're an extraordinarily beautiful bird. And that brilliant white in the plumage. And of course this lovely yellow ochre head and the very, very powerful bill. And in fact, there's a couple of people there on the edge taking photographs now.
Don't make me look at them, they're making me very nervous.
No, but it's not only that. The further person's too close to the colony.
Oh, yeah.
Very definitely. And that really, really annoys me because there is no excuse for it, none. And it's not fair on the birds. The problem with seabirds is they can't look after a territory. They have to go and find a place to breed, and then they have to fly off to get food from maybe even hundreds of miles away. So they're limited as to where they can breed by where the islands are. And then they come back here and find, most of the time, most islands are inaccessible, so they're fine and they're left alone. Great Saltee is a fabulous place, as long as you respect the wildlife on it. Mind you get too close, you'd know all about it from a gannet because it would do serious damage.
They're big birds.
And you see the way that one landed? It didn't make it properly.
No.
They're not used to landing on land. They prefer water.
And the extraordinary thing is that they can actually identify each other. and identified the young. I always find that totally remarkable when you just see a sea of black and white birds here, you know, that they can identify each other.
Amazing.
And it's absolutely extraordinary to watch their fishing techniques and the way they'll circle very, very high, and then when they see something, go crashing down into the water, pull back their wings and go straight underneath. It's fantastic.
As we continued to enjoy the Gannet colony, we were joined by other keen bird watchers, Joe and Katrina Dixon of Gorey.
The reason we came out was, first of all, just to get a photograph of the birds, but it reminds us back of our honeymoon, which is almost 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
When I dragged her at the end of December down to the back strand in Tremor, watching birds.
Oh, so you've always been a birdman.
Of the feathered
I've
kind.
Been a birdman since I was a boy. And one of the first people who inspired me when I started going to the slobs was this man here, Chris Wilson.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. And what about yourself?
Oh, sure, look, I went bird watching nearly 20 years ago for the first time in my life.
In Tremor, if I remember.
In Tremor. Yeah. In freezing cold weather, and had to go into one of the local little shops, like Newlyweds, with our shining wedding rings, and she took pity on us and gave us two hats and a pair of gloves, and gave it to us for nothing, I might add.
Said,
yeah, congratulations. So we went off down the strand then for the rest of the day and spent 2 days bird watching with the frost on the ground, and it was absolutely fabulous.
I see cameras, very fancy cameras there, taking all kinds of photographs.
Got into the photography about 2 years ago, and we started up a club in Gorey.
Okay.
And my passion is wildlife, so yesterday it was rabbits and foxes, last week it was kingfisher and otters, and today it's birds.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Can't do better than that.
Great week.
And this passion of wildlife is right up my street, because... Yeah. They're all interlinked. They're all just as magical as each other, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Have you been to the island before? I'm sure you have.
This is my third visit to the island.
Third visit.
Twice last year.
Okay, yeah.
And love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, yeah.
But isn't it extraordinary that you can get this close to a gannet colony? And especially from a photographer's point of view, which are big lens and that.
Well, most people see it on TV, and it's up in Scotland or it's out in the west of Ireland or whatever, and to be able to come down here and be within 30 feet of these beautiful birds, you know, you can see the markings on the face, the colours on them. You can hear them, you can smell them. It's fantastic.
It's though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, no, it's
it
fine.
Is, yeah.
Because you see, you can't smell it on television, and the real thing, it's 50 million times better than television. Well, we're sitting now adjacent to a kittiwake colony, rookery. We've got guillemots 8 feet away from us, 12 feet away from us. We've got razorbills, chough just flown over our heads.
And what a beautiful view of the chough. Of course, the chough is a crow. It's a member of the crow family. It has a beautiful red curved bill and red legs. It's really striking. So Chris is all pleased because he got a nice photograph.
I did.
Oh, hang on, guys. I can see something you can't. Look over your shoulder. Look out to sea for a second. See? Not too far from where that boat is moored. They're doing a bit of fishing.
Oh, just the right. Rissos dolphin. Fantastic. What a sighting.
One, two, three. Three of them.
Brilliant. Absolutely
I only saw
brilliant.
The one. Well spotted. Okay, so.
Oh, wow.
That is fantastic.
Now, how could you tell immediately that that was a Rissos dolphin, Chris?
Bigger. Much bigger dolphin, bigger and fin. It's almost the fin size is almost coming towards a killer whale in one sense.
And in fact, the markings as well along their back and along it looks like they've got scarring, a little like it's like white stripes.
But they're quite thumpy on the face. The face is not as streamlined as the common dolphin, if you like. They're really blunt, and they're a much bigger dolphin as well. Superb. And the sounds of the kittiwake, I mean, they are just fantastic. It's such a coastal cliff sound, isn't it? Just an amazing sound. It's just beautiful.
All too soon, our time on the island was over. We made our way down to the landing point where Declan Bates was due to pick us up.
Have you never heard of Wellingtons, Declan?
No, not Wellerly, this man.
Bare feet.
Bare feet, what is it what you want?
You're right too.
Shoes on us the whole year. You step in there.